Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then we will start as we learn about teachings of Jesus with regards to children and how it affects us. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much with grateful hearts, Lord, as we come before you to learn from your word. We know it is a privilege for us to be here because you have filled us with your love. You have loved us. And Lord, you want us to show this love to others as well because you are the origin of love and you are the one who gave us this love. Father, we pray, even as we sit in front of you to learn from your word, we know that it is not me that's teaching, but the Holy Spirit. We pray that every word of God, when cometh out, will speak to us in a special way. We thank you for bringing back Kimberly. We pray that you will bless her with the results that she so desires, according to your will. We pray also and thank you for Benjamin's helper who's here. We pray that, Lord, your love and your Holy Spirit will also speak to them in a special way. For us, Lord, as we learn from the words of Christ and the things, Lord, in which we need to do with regards to children and our responsibility, we pray that you help us to learn, Lord, how to be more and more like Christ in our dealings with children and our responsibility as well within the family and, Lord, also as a Christian. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we talked about children, okay? We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with children. Today we just want to talk specifically about some of the passages that Jesus talked about children and our relationship with children. I want to draw out some learning points from there, okay? Please take the notes if you have, okay? And turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, all right? That's the start. I'll just take one. Okay. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Okay, I will read verse 13, okay? Then you read 14 and so on until we finish at verse number 16, all right? The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them." Verse 14.
When he saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid not, for I have not yet come unto
you." Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verse 16. Okay, just some starting questions, all right? What was the disciples thinking when the children were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? What were they thinking about? What did the disciples do? The disciples actually stopped the children from coming, right? But what were they thinking in their minds, do you think? Anyone? Too early to think. Okay, anyone? What do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was, or rather what the disciples were thinking when he actually, hey, don't disturb him, or what were they thinking? Sorry? They felt the children were a distraction, okay, distraction to what? Okay, the disciples felt that the children are a distraction to what Jesus was doing, okay, anyone else? Okay, they will not understand what the Lord Jesus Christ will be teaching, and so let's get it out of the way. Jimmy? Because now Jesus was too busy for them. Okay, so some of the quite logical responses, okay, that some people will have. And if you look at today, I had a friend who's a banker in the army. He and his wife, quite high flyers. And when they married, they made a decision, they're not going to have children. They're not Christian, they're Catholics. I'm just not going to have children. Because we don't want to have any hindrance in our lives as we live, you know. I mean, they're high flyers, they have the money rolling in, and they just want to enjoy life and just live and do what they want to do, okay? So sometimes people will think that children are hindrances, okay? Hindrances. And another thing that the children don't understand, and so, well, just put them aside. We wait until they can understand. Now, there's a quote that I put there by a pastor, which is actually quite interesting. He says, "Jesus did not believe in letting the children go wrong and afterwards setting them right. He therefore welcomed them, weak though they were. It is better to build a strong barricade around the edge of a high cliff than to have an ambulance below. The Lord Jesus Christ had this intention, or rather his will is for children to come. And Jesus was actually saying, when in verse number 14, as they were bringing the children to him, that he should touch them. Those they refers to the parents, obviously. Okay? Bringing the children to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples actually scolded, "Hey, don't bring these children here. He has no time for you." And by the way, they don't understand what he's doing. Or rather, they won't understand what he's teaching. So get the children away, you know. They're just hindrance to what we're trying to do. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. In the Greek, it means he was very, very angry in his heart. And that's actually, when I study it, it's really very telling. It's telling about how the Lord Jesus Christ views children. Okay? He was very angry with disciples. He actually scolded the disciples. Okay? And he says, "Allow the children to come to me." And after we touch about each point, actually it's quite deep in its meaning, because the Lord, it reflects God's heart on children. Okay? We'll talk about that. How did the Lord Jesus Christ treat children? Okay? The point why he welcomed them. He says, "Let them come to me." The word "suffer them" means to allow them to come. Allow them to come. Okay? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Allow them to come. Number one, he welcomed them. Alright? Very obviously, he welcomed them. When the world actually rejects the children, Jesus welcomes them. Okay? And it goes with different people groups also. Like maybe the poorer, the beggars, the people who can't give back to us what we give to them. And we need to welcome these people because Jesus welcomes them. Okay? Our desire as parents must be to bring our children to the Lord Jesus when they are young, because Jesus welcomes them. Okay? The children's ministry is actually a very important ministry. As much as many of them are all over the place sometimes, their behaviors are not what we would like it to be, but yet it is an important ministry. Because Jesus welcomes these people. Parents who truly love their children will bring their children to Christ, because they know the safety their children will have when the children's hearts are given to Christ. Does it make sense? If we really love the Lord, we will want to bring our children to Christ, because we know if our children give our hearts to Jesus, they're safe. They're safe. When their tender hearts have surrendered to Christ, there will be a significant decrease in sins and problems among the young people today. It is a very, very simple. And I was studying this and I was reading. This pastor was talking about contrast someone who brings a young child to Jesus when they're young versus the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler also came to Jesus, because he says, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the difference was, a young child was brought by someone else and they were blessed. Whereas the rich young ruler came to Jesus wanting to be blessed and went away disappointed. And after, we talk about some of the reasons why he was disappointed, okay? So there's a contrast with that. Children, when brought to Christ when young, receive a blessing, whereas when they come at an older age, many times our own mental pride block the blessings of Christ, okay? Number one, he welcomed the children. Number two, he had time for them. He had time for them. Would you agree with me that the Lord Jesus Christ is a very busy man? Very, very busy. And yet the Bible says, allow them to come to me. Allow them to come to me. Allow the children, okay? Jesus had time for the children. And we must always have time to invest in our children. This is a practical principle. And you know, these are just very simple things, but sometimes many parents miss that. I've heard parents who say, "Oh, when they're younger, I just put them to childcare. When they're older," "when they're younger, I take care of them. Older, then by 5 years old, I can go to work." Because we need to be careful, because we need to have time for our children. Our children need us, okay? And Jesus had time for them, to invest in them. All right. The next point we see, Jesus says, "Allow the children to come unto me." Okay, the Bible says, "Allow the children to come unto me." The next one, he wanted the children to come to him. He wanted the children to come to him. You must always let the children come to Jesus. That's a single point. We must always let them come to Jesus, whether it's in Sunday school, in church, to all opportunities whereby children can be exposed to the blessings of God through His Word, through His people's love, you know, even in the church. Oh, we need to be a church that loves children. What? You know, sometimes they would mess up things and all that. Yeah, children will mess up things. We mess up God's things all the time. We're God's children, right? And we need to learn to love the children that God gives to us, okay? God wants the children to come to Him. And interestingly, the next point, He rebuked His disciples when they tried to stop the parents from bringing the children to Him, okay? We must never stop our children from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word forbid them not is an important principle. Forbid them not. Okay, if you have your shoes, I think some brethren have gone to take it in for you, right? Forbid them not. The word forbid them not means don't stop them under any circumstances. Okay, you are doing nothing to restrict anyone, the children especially, from coming to Jesus. And this is a very important point because mainly in non-believing families, Mark chapter 13, all right? Sorry, Mark chapter 10, for those who just came in. It's very important for us to understand that in non-believing families, there was one time when we started Ambassador Baptist Mission, and when we actually shared the Word of God in Sunday school, the children will go back and say, Ma, we cannot pray to idols anymore. Okay, because of Jesus, you know. And we're thankful for that, but you know what? The non-Christian parents say, okay, that's it. You're not coming to church anymore. And we're saddened by that. But at the same time, the children actually learned some truths that were important for them, but the parents are the ones who stopped them. Okay? You know, as parents, we need to be very, very careful that we don't stop them from coming to Jesus if they want to. Can I say, there's a window period for parents. The children will actually have a tender heart for anything that you will teach them. Once you get past that window period, the windows can be closed forever because their heart is taken away by something else. Okay, so investment in children's lives is very important at a young age. Okay, so Jesus actually rebuked the disciples, okay, when they tried to stop the parents, who are younger parents, who are going to have young children, those who are older, who are going to have their own children next time. Just remember this. Never stop your children from coming to Jesus. It is actually a sin to stop Christ, for children to come to Christ when they can actually have life, okay? The next one, this is interesting. He blessed them. He blessed the children. He blessed the children, okay? Because the Bible talks about the parents bringing the children so that the Lord Jesus can touch them, okay? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus already talked about blessing the children. We must always have a heart to bless these little ones. Okay, and the Bible says in verse 16, I believe, and he took his, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands about them and blessed them. Now, have you thought about what did it mean when Jesus blessed them? If you look at Mark chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. What does it mean to bless our children? We need to understand, what does it mean to bless our children? What does the meaning of blessed? What's the meaning of blessed? Happy, okay? So he happy our children. Right? But so what does it mean to bless our children? How will our children be blessed by us? How do little kids get blessed by Auntie Janet? No. How do little kids get blessed? Okay, love. Okay, love. Okay, what else? It is very, very important. Basically, Jesus made them happy. He blessed them. He made them happy. Okay, like little ones who play with them. Well, what happens to children when they do that? You know, in therapy, one of the things we do is when children are happy, it releases endorphins in the brain. It actually makes them more susceptible, more welcoming. Okay? All right? And so when Auntie Janet does this and no one goes, it's like having a smile. But they were happy. He made them happy. And can you imagine Jesus doing that? Maybe he did. You know, it's like, woo! I've seen children, I think it was Chai Ying Chao, when they were young, when they threw the child up. I realized, Some children will scared. So you must be careful, right, when you throw children up. Okay, not all children can take throwing up, not all. Okay, so but the Bible says He blessed them. He made them happy. How did they make them happy? By His attention. Would you agree with me? By His attention, He blessed them. I mean, just practicalizing this, Jesus blessed them. The fact that God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, took the baby up and blessed them, the children up and blessed them, whether they are 1 month, 1 year, or 3 years, 4 years, I'm not too sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ blessed them by His attention, by His love, of course, by His smile, and by His prayer, of course. Okay? In the ancient Hebrew custom, this is interesting. Taking up a child and blessing them is the act of the father. Found in Genesis chapter 27, verse 36. It was a father's role to bless the child. Whether with spiritual blessings. Okay, how do we bless our children with spiritual blessings? By praying for them. By teaching them the word of God. In a way that they can receive. It's very important. Okay? In the ancient Hebrew custom, this was a father's act. And we need to be blessing our children. And this is an interesting truth for children. So, which means that many children, actually, when they walk away from God, that could be the starting point. That they may have never been blessed by their dads. I was watching a movie, some of you may watch it, Courageous, whereby it talks about fathers, Christian fathers versus... there was one scene in which one of the men was asking, when was the time that you felt that you're like a man? Okay, and one of them said, it was when my dad told me that I need you to be the man of the house because I need to go away to work. I need you to take care of the family. And at that point, the young teenager just said, hey, the dad trusts me enough to ask me to be the man of the house, to take care of the family when he's away. You know, there's something very special to children when they know that dads trust them. Okay, and that's something important. We need to bless them, all right? The next one, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. I think the verse might be there. Yeah, the verse is there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, 11. Read the verse and then fill in the blanks. Read the verse and fill in the blanks. Page number two, the top one. He wants children to be? Sorry? Blessed. Okay, what else? The top one, the top. He wants children to be? Read the verse 10, 11, and 14. Right on top. Page number 2, right on top here. Okay, read the verse and fill in the blanks. What does God wants the little one to do? To be? Saved. Jesus wants the little ones to be saved. Take heed that he despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven there are angels to behold. That their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. So it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. In the context, it may have this thing to do with young Christians. It may not just relate to young little ones. But if you look at it, God wants the little ones with childlike faith to be saved. Okay? Children can be saved, by the way. They can be. Okay, they can be because once they come to a place of understanding the gospel for themselves, they understand the sinners, they understand the love of Jesus, and understand with sympathy, oh, if Jesus says he wants to save me and I'm a sinner, then I just accept him. That is just plain faith. It's just plain belief. We don't have to, adults say, are you sure you really believe? A child just has simple faith. One is one, two is two. One plus one equals two. End of story. He's not going to ask any more questions. But sometimes we need to be careful with young children that we begin to doubt their salvation. And when you doubt their salvation, they'll doubt their salvation. But if they come, parents, when children actually come to mom, that I want to be saved. That's a time that you ask questions in a sincere way to not challenge them, but to see whether they really understand. So also, what do you mean by salvation? If they kind of, I don't know, then they run away. Then okay. But I say, well, I read the Bible and this is this and that is that. I had my I think Esther Joy when he was 8, and we were preaching on the second coming, and she was concerned about her soul for the second coming. Sister Hannah also shared when Dad was sharing with her that the wages of sin is death, and she began to realize, hey, I don't want to be in that place forever. And if Jesus Christ can save me, I just put my faith simply on Him. Okay? And children don't have any agenda. Children don't have any agenda in their mind. They want to be saved, they want to be saved. All right? So, God wants the little ones to be saved. Okay? Now, our goal is never to tell the children that they are saved. Okay? Parents, it's not your job to tell them they are saved. The child needs to know it for themselves. Very important. Because otherwise, next time they say, oh, I'm saved because my dad says I'm saved. Or the salvation is not based on your word, it's based on their own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Any questions? All right, let's turn to Mark chapter. Yes. Yes, we do have guardian angels. Do you believe in guardian angels? Hebrews, let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1. Some people say, no lah, it's only in the movies you got guardian angels. God sets His angel upon every one of us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Let me just read and then you get a sense of what Paul is teaching us, okay? Hebrews 1 and verse 13 said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they, referring to the angels, not ministering spirits, sent forth to serve them? The word minister means minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. In these two verses, this is one of the doctrine of the angels. One of the ministry of the angels is to take care of God's people. One of the ministry of angels is to take care of God's people. And let's say, Brother Desmond, you say, okay, angel so-and-so, you're supposed to watch over him. Okay? And sometimes we ask ourselves, how come I can escape so many problems? You know why? If you're a Christian, God has His angels over you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The book of Psalms tells us. All right. Remember when Elijah the servant, will say, "Oh, all the talk about Syria, all the armies of Syria, ISIS are coming from Syria, are surrounding us. Oh, we're gonna die. Oh no, they're gonna attack Israel." And what did Elijah say? Lord, open the servant's eyes. And what happened? Surrounded the mountains were the chariots of God. And Elijah said, "You don't have to worry. God's with us. See." And the angel's eyes were open. He realized the angels of God surrounded the entire nation of Israel. Yes, children, interestingly, have special angels. Because God watches His own. God watches over His own. That's one of the ministries of just. You know what happens to, you know what these angels does? If we bully the children, let's say this little one coming in, right? You know what God says? God, this Pastor Johnny, bully this little one. And God's going to have it out with me. You know why? Because children are very special in God's heart. That's why every aborted child is in heaven. God already made provision for them. Alright? So there's another teaching. Any questions? Good question. Alright, our children are protected. You know what? When God put our children into our family, He expects us as parents to be their guardians. Not just physically, but emotionally, socially, but especially spiritually. We need to protect them spiritually. Alright? Not with a hard hand, but to guide them to faith in Christ. Okay? Anyone else? Any questions? Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. Another lesson which the Lord Jesus Christ teach through the use of children is found in Mark chapter 9. And he's talking about leadership, about humility. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37, let me just read that so that you can get a sense. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye dispute among yourselves, by the way? But they held their peace. So you know why they held their peace? They paisei. They didn't dare to tell Jesus what they were talking about. Okay? For by the way, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Okay? Better don't tell the Lord that. We all paisei already. But Jesus, of course, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last, and servant of all. And he took a child. God is going to use a child as an object lesson for the disciples, and set them in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he receiveth and saith unto them. Basically, what Jesus did was this. He took the child, like we oftentimes take children, set in his arms, basically put the child here, and put the child here. No, we usually sit children like this, right? That's what he did. Okay, in front of all. That's what we all do with young children. We sit down on the lap, put the child will be leaning against the elbows, the vortex here, and he was pointing to the children, using the child as a example. Some of them believe that this child is Polycarp. You know who's Polycarp? Polycarp is a disciple of the Apostle John. Okay, apparently, this church tradition, but we have no way to verify that. But Jesus took the child, sent him in the midst, and when he had taken him in arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of these such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Jesus used children. Okay, the occasion here was the disciples' argument as to who should be the greatest. Okay? Next time we argue among ourselves as a church, I hope we don't. Thank God we have never argue who's the greatest in the church. Let's look at the little children. Okay, because Jesus is using the little children to illustrate to us who should be the greatest, okay? He used children to illustrate that God was looking for people who are a few characteristics there. Number one, teachable, like a child. It's quite easy to teach a child. Brother Johnny, you don't know my son, or whatever. Some children are strong-willed, but generally they are able to be taught. Okay, one principle of child training is a child can be taught to do anything. Okay, that's why sadly in some of the terrorist nations of this world, they actually train children to kill from a young age. I think some of you may see YouTube and stuff like this, and it's really very, very sad, all right, that young children, from young, they are taught to hate a particular group and want to kill them, all right? That's a sad thing. And by the way, children will just receive them. In fact, they think it's fun. And after a while, their conscience has been seared. They kill people without even thinking. We, on the other hand, need to realize that children, by nature, are teachable. Okay, number one. Number two, God is also looking for people who are trustful or trusting. And children generally are trusting. Would you agree with me? That children just simply trust. That's why children are very gullible. That's why many children get sold into slavery, into different things. Why? They just, you come, I take care of you. Where do you go? They're very trusting. And unfortunately, people abuse their trust. Okay? But God is looking for children, God's people who are trusting. Another thing that God is looking for, children who are God's looking for people who are loving. Right? Children are generally very loving people. And children don't hold any grudges at all. At all. There's no grudges at all in the children. Okay? But children also are also simple. Simple, meaning what? They have no agenda. And what you tell them is what they will accept. All right. On Friday there was one when I was praying with the group of children. One child said, "I don't want to pray." Then I said, "Oh no! Why don't you want to speak to someone who loves you?" Then she closed her eyes, and she was quiet the whole time. And they're just simple. And what they share, I've learned sometimes the hard way. My children was quite, "But why you do this?" When they're young, actually, for that I scolded them. Then I reflected. Actually, he's just asking me a question. He's not being angry or he's not being arrogant. He's just asking me a point blank question. And after that, I tested that thinking, the hypothesis, and realized that, yeah, he was just being direct with me. I didn't have to be angry with him, so I just had to explain and explain until you get it. So God is looking for people who are simple. After we look at the childlikeness, he also looking for people who are unsophisticated. Unsophisticated, what does that mean? A person is what you see is what you get. They have nothing to hide. They have nothing to hide. They don't have any agenda. They have nothing to hide. And most of all, God is looking for people who are free from mental pride. Mental pride. The idea that when God teaches something that I have to actually oppose, or when people give a particular teaching, I need to actually oppose. Okay? And that, interestingly, the Bible says, and heaven is exclusively kept for people like this kind of children. So yesterday we were going through the youth camp devotions, and one of the first things that the devotional leader was teaching us is the first thing in Christian growth is blessed are the poor in spirit. Those people who are humble. like a little child, to receive whatever God wants to teach. And that is to them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And that's what Jesus is teaching too. We need to come to Christ as a child. Alright? What does it mean? I'll just read Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 and 4. And said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." Wow, become as children. Become as children. "Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus uses a child to illustrate what it means to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, if we have a mess of pride in our lives, we need to be converted to become like little children. Okay? The only way a proud man or a proud woman is going to be humble is only by realizing that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And that we are hopelessly on our way to hell. It's only Jesus Christ that can save us. I can tell you, if we think that we can do all things, but when we face Christ and realize we can do nothing, okay, that should destroy our pride. But you know what? The love of Jesus should then overwhelm us and say, "Lord, although I'm worthless, you have made me worthy by your love." Once we understand that, things change. Because if we still have that mental pride whereby we think that we know everything, then we're not going to be able to be in the kingdom of God according to God. So to be great in the kingdom of God, we must become like a little child. Okay, that is a principle for all of us. Okay, what is childlikeness? Okay, childlikeness is different from being childish. Would you agree? Childlikeness is very different from being childish. Okay, some of us are childish. Okay, some of us are childlike. Two different. Okay, so four principles of child. Number one, a childlike person has simplicity. Okay, what does it mean? It acts on simple principles and from direct motives. In other words, if you tell him A is A, B is B. On Friday night, when I mentioned the principle whereby complete obedience brings God's complete protection, I heard one man say, "Well, then we just follow that. This is what God says. Let's follow that." That's childlike faith. Just simple faith. This is what God says. I'll just follow it. I have no qualms about it. I won't ask any question. If this is what God says, let's follow it. Okay? And there's direct motive. It's like, okay, I just want to follow God. I've got nothing else. I just want to follow God. Okay? Simplicity, number one. Number two, freedom from self-consciousness. What's the meaning by freedom from self-consciousness? Many of us are very self-conscious, including myself. You know, you try to be aware of what people say about you. A child doesn't. Have you noticed that? Children say, I don't like your face. Just give it to you. But you know, in their mind, they are very clear. They're just saying what they think, okay? Of course, as you grow older, we should be a little bit more mature in knowing what to say at what time, all right? Doesn't mean I'm just being childlike. What? I'm telling you exactly what I feel. No, as we grow, God expects us to be mature. Certain things don't have to be said, all right? Okay? But children, actually, well, they're not self-conscious. If they're wrong, they'll cry and cry and cry. As parents, they seek our understanding and they're just being themselves. If they cry, it means that something's happening in their hearts. We need to go to them, okay? Self-consciousness oftentimes affects relationships because of what we think about other people, what other people will think about us. And so we don't say things, we don't do certain things. We need to be free from self-consciousness as a child. Another one about childlikeness is deliverance from calculation. What does that mean? It simply means, calculation means children live in the present. They are not affected by what people say or what tomorrow may bring. Deliverance from calculation. In other words, they are not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about what people say. Children live in the present. Okay, that's why it's very fast for children to forget about wrongs and just move on. We need to be like that. That's childlike. Okay? Another thing about childlike is they are humble. They are humble. And you know, as I was studying this, one of the reasons children are happier with being obscure. I was reading this author, children are happy with being obscure. In other words, they don't need to be in the limelight, actually. You know, children who want to be in the limelight. Have you ever thought, why some children always need to be in the limelight? Think about that for a while. Why do children are generally humble, okay, because it was about Bibles. Why do children sometimes want to be in the limelight? Anyone? Sorry? To gain reputation, to gain attention for themselves. Recognition for themselves. They need attention. And what sometimes children do is to do anything to get attention, including misbehaving. Because the time that daddy spanked me is the only time that daddy would pay attention to me. Okay? Interesting. Humility is a very big part of childlikeness. Children are happy to be obscure with one requirement. They need to know they're being loved. They need to know they're being loved. Many children are coming out of homes that do not have that. And so they seek love with their friends, only to find out their friends would abuse them, they're taken advantage of, etc., etc. Okay? God wants us to be childlike. You know, it's the important principle that I believe the Lord Jesus wants us to learn, twofold for the child, for us as Christians, is to have a humble heart. Do you realize that all of us are loved by God? We need to start from that very basic premise. Sometimes we may get things in this world, but when we know that we're loved by God as a basic principle, that will get us through a lot of things. Because God is with us. Okay? God is with us. Okay? On the other hand, which we'll talk about slightly later, about parenting, we need to realize children from young need us. From young. And from young, I mean from 0 years. There was a study, I think some of you may have read it, whereby they were, I wouldn't say it's a control group, but they were just looking at some of the records of orphanages that gave a lot of attention and versus another. In fact, not orphanage. If I'm not wrong, there was an experiment that actually put some orphans, children who were born in an orphanage, okay, and they actually put stuffed toys with one group, and the other group, they just kind of maintain the attention, rather just the basic needs. If I'm not wrong, they look at the two, and for those with the teddy bears or the soft toys around them, actually fed better than the ones without the comfort, if you like. Why? Because children don't live by milk alone. I'm not trying to misquote scripture. But babies don't live by milk alone. Babies need love. They need to know that there's something in this world that cares for me. Okay, and for the child to live the secure womb of the secure body of the mom, to come out into the world, they leave that space. The first thing they do is they cry. Okay, of course, it's to broaden the lungs and stuff like this. But you know what? Children, over time, they realize that they cannot find one consistent caregiver. They are very distressed. They can grow up very insecure. And it is something that that's why God put wives to be keepers at home. For that particular reason of ensuring, as dad does the duties in this world to provide, God puts the mom squarely at home to minister to the child. As the child grows, they know the stability of the home. All right? It's something that all those who are young, as you grow up, please understand this principle. God doesn't want to be a wet blanket and throw away your career. But there are certain things that are more important than money in this world. Okay? So that's what we talk about, the secret to Christian. Okay. Any questions first? Any questions? This is a very important principle. Many parents are missing this. Many young parents are missing this. Many parents who are non-believers are missing this. They think that just putting a childcare would be good enough. We are sacrificing the security of our children. We need to be careful of that. Alright? And the Lord Jesus wants us to learn. Children from young. God has already given us advantage to bond with our child from young. Don't throw it away. Okay? Now, going back to the lesson about greatness, Jesus said, there was a Christian pastor who said, the secret to Christian greatness is the willingness to stoop, I mean, to bow down, to obey, to love, I like this, to forget self in others. In other words, you live for others so much, you forget about yourself. You know, this teaching, oh, you need to worry about self, you need to care about yourself. True. Okay? True. But the secret to Christian greatness, Jesus forgot about himself when he died on the cross. He totally abandoned himself. He denied himself when he died on the cross. The Bible often, Jesus actually told them, don't you think I can call 12 legions of angels to come to Jerusalem tonight and destroy you? And one legion is how many soldiers? 6,000. Okay? So 12 legions is how many? 72,000 soldiers. Angels. Okay? I heard an evangelist say, I shared before, one angel in the Old Testament destroyed 185,000 soldiers in one night. What do you think 72,000 angels can do? Basically, Jesus said, I can wipe you out today. But God chose not to. Why? In love, he denied himself. Okay, that's something that I believe the Lord Jesus wants us to learn. The secret to Christian greatness is to forget ourselves as we serve other people. And I believe God will reward us. Humility, like a child's, is a secret not only to entrance into the kingdom of God, but also to also the eminence of it. In other words, humility will lead us into the kingdom of God because God looks for those who are humble, those who say, God, I need you. I've worshipped this, I've worshipped that, but it doesn't work. I know you are the true God. He brings us into the kingdom of heaven by humbling our hearts to know that God is the true God, but also it will, as we humble ourselves, God lifts us up and makes us great. Okay? We don't have to fight for our reputation. Did you know that? God will fight for our reputation. If we are walking with God, God will vindicate us. Okay, in the Old Testament, it's always the principle. When God's people stand by his side, God will always stand with them. And by the way, God will always win. So we're always on the winning side. Okay, any questions? Okay. The next point in this is, as the Lord Jesus Christ taught many truths regarding childhood, there is one fact that sometimes can be overlooked in these passages, but it's equally important, and that of parenthood. Parenthood, parenting. Okay? When, I like this, because the pastor actually made the connection. When the Lord Jesus took the child to bless the child, he was equally telling the parents, you are doing the right thing. You have brought your child to the right place. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to bless your child because you made the decision to bring your child here. Do you see the connection? So the Lord Jesus is not blessing the child only. He's blessing the parents. And he's saying, you are doing the right thing. And I want you to keep on doing the right thing to bring the child to me. Okay? And this is important. We must never despise that. Parents' role in bringing up children for Jesus Christ is central. We cannot subcontract this job. Okay? Child care centers may be a practical arm. And in some families, yeah, they may need that. Like single mothers, for example, single fathers, they really need to make ends meet and all that. There are some practical. But you know what? If there is an opportunity to actually care for our child ourselves, we need to take God's responsibility upon ourselves because it's ours to have. God did not intend for our child. After God gives us a child, we subcontract it out. No. Okay, and that's something that we have to learn because ultimately that we are responsible for our child before at the judgment seat of Christ. And God's not going to ask the child care teacher, God's not going to ask the church. The church will be responsible to ensure that he supports the parents. Okay, that's the role. But as parents, we need to take the role of bringing up our child, being involved in God's work, learning the scriptures, character change, etc. Okay? And I just have this poem there. I just kind of really, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Okay, I'll just read, okay? Blessings on the hand of woman, angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace cottage of hovel, oh, no matter where the place, wood that never storms assail it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Do you understand this one? Initially, we have to actually understand. Okay, basically, this man, William Ross Wallace, was just blessing. He said, angels guard the strength of the hand of woman because wherever it is, in the palace, in the cottage, wherever the place, wood that never storms assail it. Okay, in other words, is praying for the protection of this role on the hand of woman. Rainbows ever gently curl. In other words, rainbow will curl nicely just to kind of beautify the place, because the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. All right? Infancies, the tender fountain. Power may with beauty flow. That means when the child was young, it's actually a tender fountain. Okay? And through that, the power of God with beauty may flow out of that. Mothers first to guide the streamlets, little streams that come up from the children. From them, souls unresting will grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine stream or evil hurt. The second stanza talks about when we build our child, it can be for good or it can be for evil. If we don't, listen, this is one of the things we have to understand. When we don't intentionally train our child to walk with Christ, we will always allow them to go the wrong way. Because Jesus said, even not for me, you are against me. And that is a biblical principle we have to realize. When we don't intentionally intend for a particular direction for our child to walk with God, the child will go the other way. Because that's a natural human tendency. Okay, and that's something as a church we need to encourage, whereby we encourage the specific. Yeah, it's tough sometimes. And by the way, when you follow the ways of God, many times it's against the ways of the world. And that's where we need courage and we need grace from God to do that. Okay, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. This is interesting. He's saying how important our mission, mothers, of course, parents are involved. Keep the young heart always open to what God says. All true trophies of the ages are from the mother's love impelled. The true meaning of life, the true blessings of life streams from a mother's love for the child. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of woman, fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are heard. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules. You know what I mean, the hand that rocks the cradle? That means the mummy. Lah. Because the mummy is the one who put the child to sleep. Okay? Mummy, it's all your problem, really, not mine, Dad. Right? No, okay, we're supposed to, dads and fathers, we're supposed to work in cooperation with our wives to help that, okay? I believe it's a wonderful poem that every mom, every lady, when they grow up, need to remember, okay? By the way, this has never changed. Every civilization that has taken women out the home and put them out have seen a growth and increase in problems, youth problems, etc. Okay, and many of our youth would actually have met less problems if there was someone to guide them. Okay, so we talk about children, we talk about youth, and both our children's VBS and our youth camp do need counselors and workers. Okay, so I'm just advertising that, but I hope you can understand why it's a big push. Of course, there are other areas we need to focus on as well. Okay, personal reflection, just to end off with, Jesus had a keen love for children. And if we love Jesus, we will have a keen love for children too. Okay? Jesus taught us how to treat children. Jesus taught us how to treat children. How? He welcomed them. He had time for them. He wanted them to come to Christ. He rebuked his disciples when they tried to stop the parents from bringing the child to him. He blessed them. Okay? And he wants them to be safe. Just to end off, the future of any country, church, are in the hands of the children. Do you agree? The future of this church lies in the hands of the young people and the youth. And it's our responsibility as the more mature members of the church to make sure we guide them in the right way, in God's way, in the Word. Okay? And once it's in God's way, we can be assured that the direction will be saved. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it, okay? And the last one is we need to be childlike in our faith in God. We need to be simple. We don't have to be pompous. We don't have to kind of always censoring what God teaches. We just have to accept what God says and you'll find that God is always right. Do you agree? Genesis 18:25, would not the judge of all the earth do good, do the right thing? God will always do the right thing. Our job is to follow Him. Any questions? Any thoughts? Any questions at all? Well, hopefully these are some food for thought. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must say, as a study, there's about 7 other passages where I taught. Let me just keep it to 2. Because otherwise, there was so much that Jesus taught in the life of children. One of the things you can do in your own study, just look at passages in which children were involved. Example, the healing of Jairus' daughter, for example, 12-year-old daughter, healing of the nobleman's son, okay, and the different raising of the child of the widow of Nain. Of course, probably it's a young man, but how God had compassion. And you will find different characteristics through all these miracles, okay? And hopefully God will build our faith, especially for parents. Can I encourage you? God didn't call us parents for nothing. He didn't give us children for nothing. Children are a gift from God, Psalm 127, okay? But when God gives them to us, He also gives us the strength to build up our children for God. And that's where we have to take that responsibility. All right, any questions? Well, let's have a word of... Any questions? No? Yes. No, they will be in heaven, that's all. They won't become angels. It will just, according to David said, I will go to him, but he will not come to me. Remember the passage that David's son, the child that David had with Bathsheba, died. And so when he realized that child was dead, he was fasting, remember? He was fasting for his child to live. But God says, no, I'm going to kill this child because it's a result of your sin. And later on, when he realized the child was dead, he actually said, I will go to him, but he will not come back to me. So that is the only passage we have, and that would be probably enough to know that all aborted babies or children who die in the womb go straight to be with Christ. How do they look like? Beautiful? I believe everything that God does will be beautiful. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there will be a mangled mess of cells. Definitely not. No. God is more creative. God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? And of course, living in this world, we are subjected to the sinful nature. Therefore, our bodies come out sometimes deformed. But you know, when you're in heaven, everything is perfect. And so we can thank God for that. And you know what? What a blessing it is. Our God can take sometimes a tragedy of man and make it one of the trophies of heaven. Okay, and when you go there, you probably say, hey, I didn't realize you were nicer than me or something, like, I don't know. But all I can say is in heaven, every child that's away is made perfect in heaven. I think that's a blessing that we can look forward to. And one day we're going to see. Okay? And yeah.
Will there be children?
Well, the Bible did say in the millennium period, the child will lead the lion. The child will play the lion. So I really don't know. Whether they are mature, whether they are... I really don't know. I really don't know. Except that apparently the Bible says in the millennium period there will be children. Anyone has any insight in that? Would there be children in heaven? Or children as we know it? Children, yeah. Children as in Gina. La. Okay, anyone have any insight? All I know is in heaven, everything will be perfect. If you need to grow, you're not perfect.
Right.
So maybe it's just in stature, that's all. The Bible never said. 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. So all I can say is it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be perfect. Whether he may be 3 meters tall, and say, Asher may look at you, hi dad. Then
Asher, you're so tall. I don't know.
Maybe... I believe God will be creative in heaven also. I don't think we'll all be the same. I think for us, we can recognize one another. Whether or not there'll be children, I don't know. But for us, you go to heaven, I know you as Henry. I know you as Summer. I know you as Tim. In heaven, we will recognize each other. How I know? In the Bible, Matthew 18, when Peter, James, and John was in the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, in the Bible said, John saw who? Moses and Elijah. How did he recognize them? How did the inspired authors know them? Apparently, we will have that perfect knowledge as well. Hey, you're Enoch, right? Hey, you're Noah, right? Interesting, we will actually have that perfect knowledge. Yeah. I can't answer you. I don't know. The Bible never says. Does anyone have any insight? Maybe it's one verse I ever never read. Anyone? But I think the wonderful thing is you'll be perfect. Whether it's a child, God knows that's the most perfect posture I'm going to make you. Okay? And yeah.
How about our age? Let's say our parents, like, pass on to the old person. But heaven is perfect.
Yes. Glorify, yeah. Philippians chapter 3 talks about God will fashion our corruptible body like unto his incorruptible body. Yeah, that's the only thing I can tell you. That our bodies will just, I don't need glasses. Your loved ones will, if you have a lot of pain, will have no pain. I somehow think that we all have baby skin. I don't know, I'm just guessing. I don't know. Because everything will be perfect, you know. There'll be no blemish. Everything will just be 100%. You look at it, and it's like, whoa, all the beauty centers in this world is not going to be able to make what God is going to make us. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I do know that it will be perfect according to the scriptures. And there will be no more tears, no more corruption, no more death. Death means corruption in the Greek. There will be no more corruption. Everything will just be wonderful. How old, whether got children, the Bible never say. But I do know that it's going to be perfect. Anyone else? Okay, let's just trust the Lord perfectly as well in childlikeness. Right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your precious word. Lord, thank you that you care for children so much. Heavenly Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to impress on our hearts to have that childlike faith. Humble, simple, free from self-consciousness, and free from calculation. Father, because we know that you know everything in our lives, and all you ask of us is to be with you, spend time with you, pray, learning your word, and doing your will in our lives. And Father, today, through the Sunday Bible Hour, you have taught us in your mind what it means to be childlike. And I pray, Lord, you help us to be teachable, trusting. Help us always, Lord, to reach out in simple faith to you. I pray for every dad and mom who have children. I pray for every child, Lord, in my eyes of this mom and dads, where there will be a perception of value, infinite value, because embedded within every child is an eternal soul. The Lord Jesus you died for. But not only the soul, but also the character in this world. How the child is going to live for Christ and influence certain people. And Father, if it be that this child grow up and just be a faithful Christian that will win souls to Jesus Christ, that will be an example of the believers, Lord, I know that you do have a plan. And I'm asking you, Father, to help us all as we hear these sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the type of person you want us to be, childlike, faithful, and for us as dads to give the time that our children might need, and for the children to realize their need to reciprocate and interact so that they can themselves grow. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take this heartfelt truth and make it real in our lives. I pray for strength in every family. I pray for dad and mom to lead, to guide, to submit to you. I pray for every family to be strong. I pray for every child to have a submissive heart, firstly to you, and then, Lord, to your word, and then, Father, to the authorities you place in their lives, and, Lord, to do the will that you have for them. Thank you for what you can do. Bless the service to follow. We pray that for those who are trapped by the rain, wherever, I pray you stop the rain and cease it so that they can come. We worship you together in spirit and truth. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.